You're listening to the Divorce and Your Money Show, the number one show on iTunes that discusses the complex business of divorce. I'm your host, Sean Lehman, MBA and certified divorce financial analyst. And in this episode, we're going to discuss something a little bit different. I have an interview with Jason Silverberg. He is an author and has a great book that's coming out today called The Financial Planning Puzzle. You know, one of the things that we talk a lot about on the show is what goes on during divorce. And we go through a lot of different complex issues about how you should think about certain assets or traps to watch out for and things like that. But once you sign the settlement papers or the judge comes down with a decree, what do you do next from a financial planning perspective? What are all the pieces that you need to think about? It's not something that we talk a lot about on the show, and in this episode, we're going to get into some of those issues. What happens after divorce is over and you need to move on with the rest of your life and prepare and enjoy your finances for the rest of your life? And in his book, The Financial Planning Puzzle, Jason and I will talk about six major areas that you need to think about and get his opinion on the subject, and you'll find that he's really knowledgeable. There's a lot of great information in this episode, so without further ado, here's my interview.
Jason Silverberg is a registered representative and investment advisor representative of Securian Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA SIPC. Financial Advantage Associates, Inc. is independently owned and operated. Separate from the financial plan and an advisor's role as a financial planner, he or she may recommend the purchase of a specific investment or insurance products or accounts. These product recommendations are not part of a financial plan, and clients are under no obligation to follow them. Life insurance products contain fees, such as mortality and expense charges, and may contain restrictions, such as a surrender period. Financial advisors do not provide specific tax or legal advice, and this information should not be considered as such. You should always consult your tax or legal advisor regarding your own specific tax or legal situation.
Today on the show, I have with me Jason Silverberg. Jason is a certified financial planner and author of the book, The Financial Planning Puzzle, Fitting Your Pieces Together to Create Financial Freedom, which comes out today, March 14th. Jason, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Sean. I really appreciate you having me on. I'm really excited to share some good information on financial planning today.
Hey, and we're glad to have you. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your background, both as a financial planner and actually you have some firsthand experience with divorce?
Yeah, sure. So my story starts when I was 13. I'm Jewish. I had a bar mitzvah. My parents gave me my gift money and said, go invest it. And they didn't really know what to do there. So my parents coached me and helped me choose some stocks and mutual funds. And I actually did pretty well and bought my first car in high school with my investment gains and kind of fell in love with the investing world and wanted to help other people manage their money. And around that time, my parents actually got divorced, and that's kind of my firsthand experience. And I saw that money and investing not only was could be a good thing, but it also could be a bad thing, and it could lead to arguments and contentious conversations. So not only did I want to find a career where I was helping people with their money, but I also wanted to make sure that I was bridging the gap between money and relationships and helping people communicate better about their financial plans and financial goals so that they can move towards financial freedom versus in a divorce. I definitely make it a vow now to help divorcees pick their pieces up and fit them together and motivate people to really grab life by the horns and take ownership and move their lives forward.
Jason, you mentioned the word financial plan and financial planning. What is a financial plan, just at a basic level, and why is it important for people to create one, you know, in general, but also particularly in the divorce process or afterwards?
Sure. So, you know, Sean, do you have a junk drawer in your home?
More than one.
Yeah, most people do. And if you were to ask somebody about their junk drawers, they probably would feel a little embarrassed or maybe even a little anxious about the things in their junk drawer and how they got to be that way. And, you know, a lot of people treat their junk drawers as kind of a catch-all. You know, you get a pen or a battery and you just throw it in the junk drawer. A lot of times people do that with their finances. And throughout your life, you might have a friend or a family member get into the business and you open up an insurance policy or an investment account with them. Or maybe you have a baby and you purchase a product and maybe you have a divorce and, you know, things change. Well, that's how financial planning works. Is it's all about taking your junk drawer and organizing it and being on purpose about the strategic plan in that organizational process. Not only will you go from a junk drawer to an organized drawer, but you will have less duplications and you will not have to worry that you're missing any pieces to your financial plan as well. And you'll feel confident that every time you look at that junk drawer, it's no longer a junk drawer, that it's organized and that it's on purpose and that you are doing things to further your financial future. So that was a little analogy there that hopefully you can resonate with.
No, I think that's great. And I want to focus on your book and also some of your key messages for a little bit. In your book, The Financial Planning Puzzle, you talk about a wide variety of financial topics that people need to consider. It's very comprehensive and just about every aspect of finance. And one thing that you discuss is kind of the key areas of your financial plan. I think there are six of them, if I remember correctly. Could you talk a little bit about what those are and maybe get into a little bit more detail?
Sure, absolutely. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah, there are six key areas, six key pieces to your financial planning puzzle. And I'll go through them one by one. The first one I like to start with is understanding your current financial position. And I think that's really motivating and empowering for a divorcee to really understand where they are and where you are today. You know, a lot of times people, there's emotion that ties in with finances. And a lot of times people will kind of stick their head in the sand and don't really want to know about debts and don't want to look at things. I once had a client bring in their statements into my office, and she brought a bag full of unopened statements that she was afraid to look at. And it's just, you know, it's emotional. So we have to figure out where we are today. We have to understand where our income is after a divorce. We have to figure out where our expenses are now that we're managing the household. We also have to look at our assets and figure out, you know, what is mine and what is my ex's, and figure out what our liabilities are and what our debts are. So really understanding our current financial position is really key to building the financial plan going forward. And I would say just itemizing the inflows and the outflows and budgeting and benchmarking your expenses so that you really can hone in on what expenses you're paying for, what expenses you thought that you were doing or you thought that your ex was taking care of, but maybe they weren't, and now it's racked up some debts. You know, there's a lot of different pieces to that section, but definitely focusing on the cash flow and debt management is key on that. The second piece of the financial planning puzzle is insurance. And a lot of times people don't like to talk about insurance because, you know, it's not very fun. You know, it's expensive and, you know, do I really need it? You know, maybe I should change my deductibles, and it kind of gets a bad rap. But I would say it's very important because it's all about risk management. What you're trying to do here is if something were to happen that was a catastrophe to your plan, that you want to make sure that your financial situation won't be as harmed by it. So, you know, a couple key areas of insurance that we like to talk about is life insurance. And I know that a lot of times as divorcees, we don't like to think about life insurance because, you know, we're not married anymore. But I would urge a divorcee to look at their situation and say, well, if something were to happen to me, or if something were to happen to my ex, what would happen to my financial situation or their financial situation, and what would happen to my children if I have children. And so, you know, some divorces are amicable and some are not. And sometimes life insurance makes sense to make sure that your children's future is protected as well. Yeah, so disability insurance is the next insurance line that we like to look at. Now that you're the primary breadwinner of your household as a divorcee, you want to make sure you're protecting that income. That's really critical. And if something were to happen and you could no longer bring in that paycheck due to a sickness or an injury, you want to make sure that that's still going to be protected. Now, a lot of times people look at their benefits at work and say, well, my company covers that, and I have a disability plan or a long-term disability plan at work. But sometimes that can be good, but sometimes it may not be, and it might need some supplementing. And so, you know, we definitely take a look at what programs you have through work, if there's any buy-up opportunities, or if it does make sense to go outside and buy a supplemental policy on your own. But it definitely is a as-needed basis based on the specific set of circumstances. But I wouldn't go under the assumption that your company has that covered for you, because a lot of times they do provide something, but it may not be enough.
No, I think that makes sense. And do you also look at, you know, just some of the more basic types of insurance, like, you know, homeowners insurance or auto insurance after, you know, someone goes through a major life transition?
Absolutely. And I think that's a critical piece of the puzzle as well, because again, if something catastrophic happened and, you know, you got into an auto accident and, you know, now your net worth is a lot less than it was before because your ex, you know, has taken half, then you want to make sure you've protected what the net worth that you have. And if the auto accident was your fault and you don't have enough coverage, liability or, you know, auto or cover, you know, whatever the coverage is, and if you're not covered enough, then they can come back and sue you, and you might be liable above and beyond the coverage limits that your insurance carrier provides. So it's very important to make sure that you review that as well by a qualified insurance agent.
Got it. So what are some of the other pieces of the puzzle?
So after we've gone through the insurance section, then we talk about retirement and investments. So retirement, you know, a lot of times people say, well, I'm so far behind, I'm never going to retire now because I'm divorced and, you know, I'm just behind the eight ball. And so I would say instead of just jumping right in and starting a retirement program, sometimes it makes sense to just pause for a second. And really, before just throwing money at your retirement plan, think about what you want retirement to look like. It's really hard to do that after coming out of divorce, because it's a very emotional time, and it's very hard to think about the future and plan for the future, depending on how long retirement is away, when, you know, you thought that your life was going to go one way and it might have gone a different way. So sometimes it makes sense just to pause for a second and really take stock of where you are and figure out what you want retirement to look like. And sometimes, you know, that retirement might mean a second career. Sometimes that retirement means a hobby turning into a job, you know, an actual small business. Or sometimes it means just completely checking out of the workforce altogether and being with your kids and grandkids. And I think it just depends on every single person's specific set of circumstances. And so really what we do is we sit down and figure out what your retirement lifestyle, what you want it to look like, and work backwards and figure out where you are today, where you want to get to in the future, and then create that plan moving forward and saying, you know, is it $100 a month that we need to save for retirement? Is it $500 a month, or is it $1,000? You know, it's all dependent on the specific vision of your set of retirement goals. So I think that's important to focus on as well. And then the investment section, what we do is we sit down and say, this is the how. You know, the retirement is the vision and the investment is the how. We sit down and say, okay, where are we at right now? We have $100,000, $50,000, $20,000, $0, whatever it is. We sit down, we look at it, and we say, okay, where is it invested? Is it in the stock market? Is it in bonds? Is it in money market accounts? Is it in mutual funds? We go through and we create a profile for your specific investments. We match that up with your risk tolerance. And whether you were in charge of managing your money or your spouse or your ex-spouse, it's important to relook at your risk tolerance now that you've come out of this major life change and have gone through the divorce.
What does that term mean for someone who's not necessarily involved in the finances, risk tolerance? How should you think about that?
So that's a really good question. And I think what it boils down to is, are you comfortable with the market swings, the ups and downs of the market, or are you not comfortable with that? And I think I am comfortable or I am not comfortable. There's a gradation there. There's a gray line there where it's, you know, I'm somewhat comfortable or I'm very comfortable or I'm not comfortable at all. And so there are some quizzes that we can take to really understand where we fall on that spectrum. And if you're someone who doesn't like the market ups and downs and is a very conservative investor, then there's a specific profile that we want your investments to look like to match up with your wishes. But if you're someone who can manage a little bit of that risk and who feels a little bit comfortable with some of the ups and downs, because you might have experienced quite a few of these market cycles that have gone up and down, and you know that over the long run, things end up, you know, going up in terms of the markets, then maybe we scale the risk up a little bit and maybe we say we put a little bit more into stock-based investments. Obviously, the more risk that you take, the more return potential you might have. And obviously, nothing is guaranteed, but certainly over the long run, investing in the stock market and in bonds and in cash and the percentage makeup of each of those investment options is really what we look at in this section of the financial planning puzzle.
Got it. That makes sense. So we've talked cash flow or understanding your current financial position, insurance, retirement, which you described as a vision, investments, you said, is how to achieve that vision. And I think there are a couple other areas.
Yeah, absolutely. And along with the investments, a lot of times divorcees and parents might look towards saving for college. And I get the question all the time is, should I save for college or should I save for retirement? And, you know, along with retirement, it's also a vision of what you want what your college savings goals should look like. And are you somebody who wants to make sure that their kids can go to college no matter what the cost and you're going to cover the entire bill? Or are you the type of person that you're going to do as much as you can and, you know, hope that your children will appreciate that. And, you know, if they need to take some loans, that's okay too. I think it just depends on the situation. And again, the investments are the way to achieve the goal of college. But I always say you can't borrow for your own retirement, but you can borrow for college. So, you know, sometimes you have to put on your mask before you help your children. And sometimes people feel a little selfish or guilty by saving for their own retirement as a trade-off to saving for their kids' college. It just depends on the specific goals and wishes of the person. But along with that, we look at taxes. And we say, how do taxes play into your total financial plan? And whether it's income taxes that are due on your income or it's in taxes as it relates to your taxes as it relates to your investments, we're very aware of how taxes play into your investing and financial situation. So we're not tax advisors. I'm not a CPA, but we do have tax advisors who we refer to, and we do work very closely with them to make sure that your specific situation has a tax layer component that is that we're sensitive to. Because, you know, if you earn a 10% rate of return but pay 30% in taxes, then, you know, you're down to a 6 or 7% rate of return. So we definitely are aware of the after tax, you know, implications of your investments. And then I think the last piece of the six financial pieces is your estate plan. And this piece kind of gets forgotten about often because, you know, a lot of people think, well, I need an estate to plan for, and I don't have any money, or I have very little bit of money, or they're very self-conscious about how much money that they don't have. And people aren't as super wealthy as they might think estate planning is for. And I would say estate planning shouldn't just be about your wealth that you're transferring, but it should be about the wishes that you hope are carried out if you are no longer able to make financial or healthcare decisions for yourself. And there's the living side of the estate documents that are very important, and the death side. The living side focuses more on healthcare and, you know, what would happen to you if you couldn't make those healthcare decisions for yourself, and also financial. If, you know, who would you appoint to make financial decisions for you, or even pay your bills if you couldn't pay your own bills? And then the death side, which is where people don't like to think about or talk about, is what would happen to your children if you were no longer around? What would happen to your money if you were no longer around? And, you know, interestingly enough, I was just working with a client last night on this. Even though you plan in your estate plan, you might even set up a trust, life insurance beneficiaries and IRA beneficiaries supersede all the work that you do in your estate planning. So if you never change those beneficiaries or update them from where they were when you set them up, then all that estate planning might be out the window. So it's very important to not only craft and update your estate documents, but also implement those documents by changing those beneficiaries.
Got it. So it sounds like in addition to going through and reviewing your estate plan, you should also just check your basic accounts to make sure that the money goes to who you really want it to go to at the end of the day.
Yes, that's exactly right.
When it comes to estate planning, is that something that you go to a financial advisor for, or who do you look for?
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up. So we work very closely with estate attorneys, just like we do with CPAs and tax advisors. So while we know about estate planning and we understand it, we are not attorneys and we cannot execute legal documents. So we do recommend that you seek legal advice and legal counsel to draw up estate documents. And certainly after a divorce, you know, you may or may not be happy with paying attorney's fees. But at the same time, it's very important that you work with an attorney to make sure that your wishes are carried out. I've worked with so many people who do it themselves on software or websites. And, you know, it's only as good as the information you put in. And if you're an attorney and you know what you're doing, then maybe that works. But if the, you know, for the layman who doesn't understand the legal rules and legal jargon, it's hard for, you know, for us to create our own documents without knowing, you know, all of the intricacies of how they work.
Yeah, I think that's a lot of really good information for people to think about and to consider, particularly after a big situation like divorce. And so for the people who are, you know, coming out of the divorce process and thinking a lot harder about their financials and either one or all of these pieces of the puzzle, why don't you briefly tell us maybe what type of financial planner to consider? There's different types, right? I know you're a certified financial planner, but, you know, if you look around, there's lots of different acronyms and names. And so kind of what makes the most sense for someone to look out for?
Sure. Yeah, it really depends on your specific set of circumstances. There are fee-only advisors who will charge a fee for the advice that they give. And typically their fees are pretty high because that's all they do is just fee-based work, but they're going to give you a fiduciary responsibility of layer of advice where they're going to look at your situation and give you a good recommendation on how to proceed. But then it's up to you to actually implement the plan. You have to work with your stockbroker, your investment advisor, your insurance agents, your attorneys, your CPAs, and it's on you to do that. And if you're the type that likes to do it yourself, then that might work very well. Then there's the second layer, which is fee-based financial planners. And planners in this realm can operate as a financial planner, giving you fiduciary, unbiased advice, but also help you implement the plan. You are in no way under any obligation to implement the plan with that financial planner, but it does give you a little bit of continuity and confidence that the actual plan will be implemented in the way that you wanted it to be implemented. And those advisors generally charge a fee for their unbiased fiduciary advice. And if you hire them to manage your money as an investment advisor, they charge a separate fee for that, as well as if you ask them to do your insurance, then there are separate commissions that they earn for that. So as a consequence, because of the multi streams of revenue that these advisors have, their fees on the financial plan might be a little lower because they can afford to lower their fee because they have multiple streams of revenue coming in. The third layer is a commission-based advisor. These are people who don't charge any fees, but are hoping that you place products with them. So they might give you some investment advice or some insurance advice, but most times it's not comprehensive. They're just looking at one piece of the puzzle, and they're going to earn either an investment commission or an insurance commission for doing that. So there, each of the three, it just depends on your set of circumstances, what you can afford and what you need. And if you want somebody to help you create a financial plan and you're the do-it-yourselfer, then there's that option. And if you want somebody or if you're the type of person that just can't afford any more fees, then there are those advisors as well. And, you know, hiring an advisor, the specific advisor, you know, I have a checklist that I give to clients and friends as well, and I can share that with your audience. And it's actually in the packet that I'm going to talk about later. But the checklist gives you a good idea of some factors to check off if you're interviewing an advisor. You know, and ultimately, you know, you want to make sure that you fit well with their personality, that they're genuine, and that they care about you. And I say that because, you know, there's a financial industry gets a bad rep sometimes. And so while we all kind of do very similar things, there's a lot of gray lines. I really think that you just want to find someone who is genuine, who's honest, who you can trust. I think those are the most important factors. And if you find that person, you know, and they work with you and you work with them very well, then I think that that's really ultimately what you're looking for.
I think that's great advice, and a lot of different models and methods for people to think about as they, you know, figure out what kind of financial advice that they want to seek during this process. It's a big world and maybe too many options, but it's good that you provided a way for people to think about, you know, the different acronyms and business models and types of advice that people may want to consider. So Jason, for people who want to learn more about you, more about the book and get some more information, what's the best way for people to reach you?
Sure. Yeah. Thank you. So the book you can check out at thefinancialplanningpuzzle.com and some good information on the website. You can, buy it on Amazon. So yeah, that would be the website to check out, and I'm really excited to share the book, and it's been a labor of love for the past 18 months, and I'm really excited that it's coming out today, so that's great.
Well, Jason, congratulations on getting the book done. As I said, I got a chance to read it in advance, and there's a ton of really good information in here, so I can tell you put a lot of work and thought into it, so definitely congratulations for that. And I hope that everyone goes and picks up a copy of the book.
Thank you. Thank you. And one last thing for your audience. I created a guide to financial freedom for divorcees, and it's called Picking Up the Pieces. And you guys can get it free by going to bit.ly/divorceesguide. And I believe you'll put that in the show notes.
Exactly. I will include a link to that as well. Jason, thank you for coming on to the show today. Really appreciate the information.
thank you, Sean. This has been a pleasure, and I'm excited to see you in the future with financial planning.
Bye.